Chris Manicky.
Hi, this is Dr. Shana Bass from the Huntersville location of Carolina Veterinary Specialists.
Yeah, hi.
I'm the medical director for our practice.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm calling to obviously talk to you some about Champ and what's going on with him.
Yeah, I've been trying to talk to somebody about this, so I'm glad you called.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that Champ is going through all of this.
Me too. So, what I'm trying to find out, I have not had anybody return any of my phone calls from the Matthews location, which is extremely frustrating because that's mm-hmm. where all of the problems started.
Okay.
And he was in there on Saturday, very early Saturday morning.
Yes, I've read through that.
And they sent him home saying everything was normal. And come to find out yesterday, or maybe it was the night before when I brought Champ in, that he actually had an elevated temperature, which nobody told me. And, the swelling was so profuse. And, everyone's trying to, I just feel like everyone's passing the buck. And clearly the problem started down there. And the fact that I'm not even getting a return phone call to discuss this with me, I don't understand it being my responsibility to correct a problem that clearly started probably at surgery. I don't, from everything I've been told from your doctors, this infection didn't just happen Monday, especially as bad as it is that it required emergency surgery.
And I think the hardest part about Champ's case is that he's complicated, right? Because he has diabetes and he has osteosarcoma. And we do lots of amputations. Dr. Namfelt does lots of amputations. And infections are a pretty uncommon event. Our surgery rooms are bleached every single day. Of course, all of our instruments are sterilized. We don't have, at any of our hospitals, the Matthews Hospital or this hospital, we don't have significant postoperative infection issues. And so these types of infections are fairly uncommon. My understanding is that what Champ did have is lots of bruising and swelling and something called a seroma after surgery. And that's a pocket of fluid that is not an infection. It typically is kind of a bloody to clear fluid that is just about inflammation at his surgical site. And seromas are very common because they're more about reaction to suture material that no one can predict, things like that. So my understanding is that when Dr. Merlot saw Champ, like you said, very early on Saturday morning, that she felt like there was simply inflammation and the seroma that we already knew about, and that the tissue, as she looked at it, did not show signs of infection on Saturday morning. And so that's why she, especially because at that time, my understanding is that Champ was eating and drinking and seemed to be feeling pretty good. Is that correct?
He was panting extremely heavily,
mm-hmm.
And seemed excessively warm. And, I understand that infection may not be common, but to find out that he had an elevated temperature.
Right. He did have about a 1 degree fever. He was at, my understanding is 103.6, and we consider normal in a dog to be 102 to 102.5.
Right.
So he had a 1 degree temperature. And temperatures can be, of course, like you're concerned about, secondary to infection. They can also, though, be secondary to just inflammation. If you have a lot of inflamed and angry tissue, then you can run a fever because of that. And Dr. Merlot felt like, especially after she examined Champ on Saturday morning, that that's what the fever was due to, was just due to that tissue inflammation.
Right. I guess my concern is I was never told that he had a fever.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that he's a complicated case, to not be told that and for everything to be passed off as everything's normal, when it wasn't normal, his temperature was not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly a sign of infection. They sent him home where he just continued to decline. So things were not normal. And I don't understand why I was told they were.
So she told you that his vital signs were normal?
Yes. They didn't check glucose, knowing he's diabetic. My doctor, Dr. Marshall, doesn't understand why they didn't check that. And I'm like, what did they actually do? They didn't draw blood to check for infection. They didn't check his glucose. They checked, I guess, I don't know what, but they checked his temperature. I know that, which was elevated by almost a whole degree, but said it was normal. And now he's, you know, had to undergo another surgery to remove a massive amount of infection that was probably present on Saturday.
And, you know, we'll never be able, of course, to go back to Saturday morning and know whether there was, you know, because I understand that there was quite a bit of pus and things like that in the incision yesterday. I think was fairly obvious when Dr. Schillinger looked at it, but I certainly that was not obvious on Saturday morning. So I do think
right,
and
I understand that. But an elevated temperature by it's not like he was a tenth of a degree higher.
Right.
He was what was he? 103.8.
I think 6.
Okay, so that's over an entire degree.
It is, but at the same time, just because I see hundreds of patients, I see dogs that have a temp that high because they're nervous and they're panting in the hospital. I see dogs that come in with back pain, and just because they have back pain and they're tensing all their back muscles, they'll have a temp that's close to 104.
Right,
and just in our
we all know that Champ is a difficult case. You just said that yourself.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
And yet nothing was done to address the special needs of Champ.
I understand. And we're not trying to hide any doctors from you. We're more than happy to let you talk with Dr. Merlot and Dr. Nanfelt. What we don't want to do is have you be, you know, getting any kind of, I mean, you feeling like you're having all these phone calls, you know, all over the place. And I feel like in many cases, it's more straightforward if you're talking mainly to, you know, one person who's providing the care for your pet, like Dr. Schillinger, and then one person who can address some of these concerns, like myself. But we're not hiding any of our doctors from you. Dr.
Right. No, all I was trying to do was give Matthews, because they're the ones who told me to bring the dog to you. When I called Monday to say, look, he's things are just getting worse and worse and worse, and now he's not eating.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically directed me to you. But now everyone's saying, well, that's a different facility, and now you're dealing with this facility, and we need $9,000 to treat your dog, when it would be one thing if, I mean, this infection did not happen overnight. He didn't wake up Monday with an infection that he didn't have on Sunday.
I agree with you. In hindsight, there's no question that it was brewing earlier. But we can't, you know, hindsight is just something that we don't always have the luxury of. And so Saturday morning, it was not obvious. By Monday night,
but they didn't do anything to check on Saturday.
And I'm not disagreeing with that. Obviously, that's a fact. They did not do anything to check. Her opinion based on her physical exam was that there wasn't an infection. That's a fact. You know, I mean, there's nothing to disagree with about that. I agree. And so I agree with you. This didn't just start on Monday. In hindsight, we know that it was cooking, but she didn't know that on Saturday morning. So I think they sent you here because on Monday, the surgeon that was on call, Dr. Schillinger, was on call at this location. Is that the reasoning that they gave you?
I'm trying to think of what it was exactly they said. I thought what they had said is there was an internist.
Yes, there's both.
Oh, okay.
And both were on call here over the holiday weekend.
Gotcha. Okay. That's why they sent me up there.
Okay. Because
they didn't mention the surgeon. I think they were referencing Dr. LaGrange.
LaGrange, sure. Because you're, of course, asking the reasonable question about kind of how our business is structured, yes, we are owned by something called PetVet Corporation.
Right.
But each business is run as a very independent business. We all have different and independent budgets and payrolls and things like that. One of the things we do is we share on call so that our doctors are not on call every weekend. So if you call Matthews and you need a surgeon, that surgeon may be on call here in Huntersville. But we are very different businesses. So I understand your frustration that you feel like something was missed on Saturday, and so you feel like we should be able to fix that for you here in Huntersville, but it's just not that simple. Our doctors are paid through here. And, so Dr. Schillinger and Dr. LaGrange are obviously working very, very hard to try to get these things resolved for Champ. And they're completely independent of Dr. Nan Felt and Dr. Merlot.
I understand that, and I can appreciate that, but that should be seamless to me. Your website promotes you as one company with multiple locations. And I was told to bring Champ there
mm-hmm.
when I had obviously taken him there on Saturday.
Right.
And so I was told by the location that did the surgery to bring him to a different location. And I believe Matthews is responsible for what has happened to Champ. They did nothing to investigate. I said, he is breathing so heavily.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's number one, an elevated temperature. It's pain. They didn't adjust his pain medicine. They didn't do anything, nothing. They didn't even tell me about the temperature. They said everything is normal. And to have the amount of swelling that he had, his penis was bigger than my arm. It looked like a stump, like a leg.
Mm-hmm.
That's how big it was. And to be told that all of that is normal, how come it's not normal now when it's now down his leg and up in his chest and everything else? How is it normal on Saturday, but it's not normal now?
Well, I think the swelling was attributed to the harness that he was wearing. Is that correct?
No, he was put in a harness to help me assist me get him in the car. He was swollen like that when he came home, which was not even, 12 hours after, maybe a little bit more, 18 hours after his surgery. It was less than 24 hours after his surgery. He came home and his stomach was beet red.
Right.
And, and everybody just made such a big deal about the bruising. Well, I spent several hours over the weekend on the internet looking at pictures of post-surgery amputations, and of the thousands of pictures I looked at, I found one that looked like Champ. So I don't believe that kind of bruising and swelling is normal. And then when you bring him in and he's that inflamed and has a fever, to pass it off as everything is normal, when you've said yourself he's a complicated case, they didn't check blood glucose levels. They did. I don't know what they checked, really. I don't know if they just took a look at him physically and said, there's nothing wrong, well, the infection is not going to start on the outside. So,
right, awesome.
Did you have this conversation
with Dr. Merlot at the time? Did you ask her to check his blood sugar, or did you indicate to her
I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I took him in because I didn't know what was wrong.
Right.
And when somebody comes out and says everything, you know, we checked him over, everything is normal, I'm not going to go, well, did you check his temperature? Did you check this? Did you check that? I don't know those questions to ask.
Okay.
And the reason I'm calling or trying to talk to Matthews, I had a lengthy conversation with Ashley yesterday.
Yes.
I have not heard a word back from her. I've left a message for Dr. Nanfeld just because I wanted her to be in the loop and to know what's going on. I don't know. I would assume someone would have told her by now.
Yes.
But the fact that they're not returning my phone calls, that's unacceptable. And to pass this thing now off because Champ's at your location, that they are somehow relieved of any responsibility for Champ's condition is unheard of.
Dr. Schillinger.
Schillinger said it's going to be 72 hours before they can even culture the bacteria to find out what they're dealing with. Okay, well, if they can't be cultured faster than 72 hours in a controlled lab environment, it's not going to happen faster than 72 hours in the dog. So, back that up, back 72 hours up from when I brought him in, and that put something was not either sterile or something went awry somewhere in the surgery.
You know, and unfortunately, that is a place where I'm going to have to disagree fairly strenuously, because they probably do 5 or 6, maybe more surgeries every day in Matthews with an extremely low, probably less than 1% infection rate, which is lower than what we would consider the national average. And so I don't think that Dr. Nanfeld made an error. I think this goes back to the fact that Champ is a diabetic dog that had a major surgery, and he has developed a postoperative infection. But as I'm sure you're aware, postoperative infections are one of the biggest problems that occur currently in human hospitals, because we all walk around with bacteria all over our skin, despite the fact that, for example, I had surgery a couple of years ago, and I was instructed to shower with a special soap the night before and the morning of my surgery, in addition to the scrubbing that they did when I was under anesthesia. Certainly, Champ was scrubbed very well prior to his surgery, as we do all of our patients. And so postoperative infections are not someone's fault. They are an unfortunate and very frustrating complication of surgery.
Champ was sent home with no follow-up for 10 to 14 days, which would have been when his stitches came out.
Right, and if everything is going well, then that's very typical. If things are going poorly, you're instructed, of course, to come back like you did.
Right. Well, we keep blaming everything on Champ's diabetes. So first, another point is Champ, in the past, has been resistant to the common type antibiotics. He was resistant to amoxicillin after his eye surgery that was done in your Charlotte location. They took him off the amoxicillin and had to put him on something else. And I questioned that, why he was on amoxicillin again. And, you know, it's like, was he on the wrong antibiotic? Why did we give him something that he's been resistant to on two previous occasions? When I saw the doctor on Saturday, there was nothing like, hey, you know, keep an eye on this. If it seems to get worse, call us back. You know, there was nothing. It was kind of like, you're being a worrywart. He's fine. This is normal. And come to find out, it's not normal. And especially because of the elevated temperature, that should have been a red flag in itself.
And nothing was done. Instructions that they hopefully went over with you did say that if he's not better or if he stops eating, that you should return. So her written discharge instructions do say very clearly that if he's not improving, that you should return.
And I called on Monday, and they sent me to you, or to Huntersville.
I understand.
But there was nothing. She did not say, if that's what's on the written instructions, you know, that's one thing. But sitting there having a discussion with her, the point is he had a significantly elevated temperature.
He had a 1-degree fever, and that's not something that's unusual.
On a dog that, as you have said yourself, is such a difficult case.
He's a complicated case.
So why, with a full 1 degree, normal from everything I've gathered is 100.5 to 102.5. He's at 103 point, I thought they said 103.8. And then it was trying to pass off, well, he was on the high side of normal. Well, the high side of normal is also the low side of high. So the temperature was dismissed, knowing he's a difficult case, that he's on amoxicillin, which is one of the drugs that he has been resistant to in the past, and he was sent home as if everything's okay. And I was told everything is normal. Then to find out that, I don't know what tests they did, if they even did any tests. Apparently they didn't. She just looked at him, and because there was not an external sign of infection, she took that to mean there's no internal infection either, even with an elevated temperature.
And so let's just play the game that she had found that infection on Saturday morning, that there had been pus dripping out of your dog. And she would have admitted him to the hospital and been doing pretty similar things to what we're doing right now.
No, I don't believe she would have been doing similar things that you're doing right now, because it would have been caught that much sooner. Where we lost all of Saturday, basically, Sunday and Monday, because nothing was being done, as this infection was just getting worse and worse and worse.
And so why didn't you bring him back on Sunday when he first started to drain?
He wasn't draining on Sunday. He didn't start draining until Monday night when I brought him in.
Okay.
There was no drainage at all. I called Monday because he wouldn't eat.
I understand. That's the first time he stopped eating.
Yes, he had been eating up until Monday. Sunday evening, it slowed down, but, you know, I fed him tuna fish, you know, from my hand, and he ate the tuna fish enough to where I could give him his insulin, and it was concerning me because his appetite was just, by Monday night, he had he wouldn't eat a thing. He wouldn't take his pills. He wouldn't eat, so I couldn't give him his insulin, and that's what was concerning me. I wasn't concerned with his wound per se, because yes, while it was still extremely swollen, I had been told all of that was normal. And I felt that he started dripping from me getting him into the truck, you know, and I said, I don't know if I, you know, squeeze too hard or
right
or something that, but to me, when you've got that much fluid in there, it's got to come out somewhere.
Right. And so you would, at this point, very much like to speak with both Dr. Merlot and Dr. Nanfeld. Is that correct?
I don't necessarily need to speak with them because it's not going to solve anything. I wanted them to be aware of what has happened to Champ.
Okay,
and I'd like to see the Matthews location step up to the plate and take some ownership of what has happened. He was sent home as everything is normal. And there were signs there to indicate things were not normal, but nobody acted on it, and nobody told me about it. So I couldn't even relay that to Champ's, to Dr. Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she was like, what did they say? I was like, they said everything, this is normal. And she's the one who insisted on me taking him down there when I texted her a picture of what his abdomen looked like.
Okay.
She said, this is not normal.
All right, well, this is what I would like to do. I would like to make a couple of additional phone calls on my end and then get back to you today. I'm anticipating probably sometime mid-afternoon.
Okay.
If you get a call from an unlisted number, then that would be me calling from my cell. So
okay.
Most of the time, I don't know about you, I don't answer those.
Yeah, I usually don't either.
But this afternoon, if you would, because that might be me calling you, let me make some phone calls and talk to some folks. And again, I will get back to you mid-afternoon and see if I can kind of move this forward a little bit.
Okay, that sounds wonderful, and I appreciate it. And please understand, my frustration is not directed at any one person.
I understand that.
It is my utmost concern is Champ's care.
Of course, and your dog is a difficult thing.
That's my biggest frustration is right now is the fact that no one from Matthews is willing to talk to me. And they're just kind of passing the buck without, you know, addressing. You know, and I'm not looking to point fingers. I don't have $9,000 readily available. You know, Champ, between his eye surgery, his tail amputation a year and a half ago, you know, he's in it right now for 20 grand, and now it's going to be another 10 because
right.
The other thing, not one of the estimates that I've ever received from CVS, every single one has exceeded the high end of the estimate.
Oh, the bills, so, you mean?
Yeah, the bills. The actual bill has always been higher than even the high side of the estimate. And it's not about the money. I will spend every penny I have on that dog. I need to know that while we are trying to sort this out from a financial end, that he is receiving the best care possible. And I do believe he is. And I appreciate that things are not being put on hold while we're trying to figure out the financial end of it. I don't
right.
know any other way to say it.
I understand. Okay. Well, let me make some phone calls and I will get back to you this
afternoon. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.